Liz, good morning.
Good morning.
So to start off with, what circumstances have actually led to medical students practicing on each other?
Okay, so we responded to a journal article from Otago University in New Zealand that actually talked about the fact that students are openly acknowledging that they need to practice clinical skills and they need to practice them on people, not just in a simulation lab, before they practice on patients. So there was a survey done on students and the large majority of them said openly they have practiced, particularly putting in drips or taking bloods off each other, often off-site in their own home. So that's not a new thing. I graduated 32 years ago and we were taught how to do those clinical practices by using one another in the classroom.
So what are some of the ethical and safety issues when it comes to students practicing on themselves?
So what we responded to was in the article there was an inference that perhaps the students are doing this and perhaps it's not necessarily ethical as a student, then are these the same students who then go on to become doctors who do unethical things, particularly raising the issue of are these the students that might go on to become doctors who self-prescribe? And so Professor Milligan and I responded to that quite strongly, saying it could be seen as an ethical choice to actually practice on each other and cause harm to each other or to ourselves before and hopefully instead of causing harm to patients. That's quite a different issue than self-prescribing. If a doctor self-prescribes, that's not in order to become proficient at prescribing to protect patients from having harm done. So we concluded ethically this is quite a different ball game. These are students making ethical choices, but then it raises a really important question. How can we as educators support students to make these choices well and in a supervised environment that's also therefore a safe environment, which is the issue you raised.
Now, you mentioned before there, this practicing on each other back when you were still in school. Has this just something that's been happening since the dawn of time?
Well, I guess the answer is absolutely yes. And our classic Australian example is the Nobel Peace Prize winner who discovered that gastric ulcers actually are caused by a bacterial bug that he himself ingested to prove his point. So yes, it has been happening and it still is happening and a lot of medical frontier work has come from it happening. But I think the thing that surprises us perhaps as educators and needs us to take note is back in my time, we didn't have simulation labs. We didn't have simulated arms that you could practice on, simulated equipment that you could practice all these skills. And I guess for me as an educator, it's a real wake-up call that that's important, but in fact there's a big gap between our simulated equipment and, from a student's point of view, their sense that they have to perform on vulnerable patients in the hospital setting. So I think perhaps some of us thought we've solved the issue. It happened before, it doesn't need to happen now, and our students are telling us, no, we need both and. Thank you for the simulation equipment, but we need to have real humans as the in-between from simulation to patient.
And so, just looking forward into the future a little bit, how do we go about changing this issue? You've mentioned the simulation machines and having humans in between them, but how do we actually go about changing this culture?
Well, I guess a wonderful response to the article in the conversation, one student said she's in a medical school that has a protocol where they agree to practice in a supervised process on one another. And that's what our school's going to look at early next year, is what is the learning from this? How do we actually support students to practice, but practice in a supervised way and practice in a safe way that's about preparing for the procedure and also disposal of the equipment? So I think moving forward, how do we hear what our students are needing and asking for, and how do we respond in a way that actually would make everyone feel comfortable that no one's actually put undue harm in the process.
Well, Liz, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
That's a pleasure. Thanks, Tess, for asking.